Oh, we should do our 1-2 clap clap.
Yes, let's do our 1-2.
1-2.
Oh, and look at that. It magically made my internet start working by doing that.
Sometimes you gotta clap it out. Sometimes you gotta clap back.
I guess so.
Sometimes you gotta clap it out.
Gotta clap it out.
Clap it on. Clap it off. You know.
Yay. How are you, Vanya?
Mike Johnson. Hi, I'm good. I mean, I'm good. It's fine.
Can we?
I feel like life and time is not happening the way it normally does for me.
It feels
really fast or something, or circular. I don't understand.
That makes sense. We were kind of talking about this really quickly because last time when, so we record our stuff separately, like we each record our own file and then you send yours to me and then I kind of put it together. But last time you sent it to me and I started listening and I was like,
oh my God, you guys.
This sounds like she's in a tunnel or something. And you would just like, you had your reverb on or something like that.
I have no idea, but I had clicked my reverb up like 50%. So it was like, ma. I was honestly having a panic attack and I was going to throw myself out a window because I was like, I can't, because you know when you do something and it, because you can't get that back, you can't get that
right,
those moments back. So, but it was fine. I just turned off the reverb and
which is what I thought it was going to be. I had the two thoughts at once. I had one of like, I can just use this, like it sounds kind of weird but it's fine. But I also was pretty sure you could probably just like click it and make it go away. So I'm glad it was that.
Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Glad it was that quick of a fix.
I'm sure everyone, if they had to hear me echo throughout the first 30 minutes, they would have been like, yeah, I'm good with this episode. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'm glad we could fix that. How are you this week?
I'm doing pretty well. I got my second shot.
Oh, yes. Okay. Reactions?
Yeah, so,
anything?
Yeah, way less than the first one. So I definitely the next day, well, first of all, the experience of getting it was interesting because I had specifically signed up for a location that was like 10 blocks away from where I live, just for the convenience of it.
Right.
I mean, whatever. I went to Queens for the last one and it wasn't that big of a deal, but I was like, oh, that's so close. That'd be great. And like 2 days before the appointment, I got an email saying your vaccination location has been changed.
No.
And I was kind of like, ugh, yeah, that's so annoying. And it was literally closer. It was like,
oh, great.
7 blocks away. Yeah. And it was sort of funny. So like, I didn't give myself any time. My appointment was like 6:10. And I was like, I'll leave my apartment at like 5:55. Like it's so close. It's not that big of a deal. Mm. And then of course I got there and the line was crazy. I mean, the line literally was, I mean,
oh no.
5 blocks long, something like that. Mm-mm. Like it was such a long line. But it was fine. I got in line and actually one of my roommates had an appointment at the exact same location like an hour and a half after me.
Uh-huh.
So I texted and I was like, "Hey, just so you know, the line's really long. I'll keep you posted. You'll probably want to get here early, you know, just in case."
Yeah.
And I was sort of communicating and I got towards the front of the line. It probably took me like 45 minutes to get to the front of the line, which isn't that, it's fine. Like, it, you know, it was not that big of a deal. And they were really good about coming and checking you in when you were in line.
Good.
So when you got in, once I got in the door, I was done in like 2 minutes. Like,
they stabbed you right away. Yeah.
Yeah. They just stabbed me and sent me along.
Run at you with a needle.
Yeah. But it's so funny because my roommate had sent me a message saying, yeah, I'm in line now. I can't find my vaccination card. I think I must have lost it.
Uh-oh.
But I took a picture of it and hopefully it's fine. So for anyone that's gotten, you got your first one, right?
I did. I got Pfizer. Which one did you get?
I got Moderna.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know how they're doing it where you are, but there's like the little card that we got that like they fill in the first one and there's space. Yeah.
I'm terrified of losing it. Like I have it over there and I think I check it every day to make sure nobody's touched it.
Yeah, I definitely had put everything I needed in a specific spot and then the day of had that overwhelming panic of like, what if it's not there anymore? And of course it was all fine. So he was like, you know, I lost my card. And honestly, part of me was thinking, this has happened to someone. Like someone has lost their card. It's not going to be like, we've not encountered this and don't know what to do. Like I figured it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I will also say at the same moment that I had that thought, I thought, I'm going to find that card. I'm going to randomly stumble upon it on my walk home. So I left after, you have to sit there for 15 minutes and make sure you don't have a reaction. And,
okay.
And then I left and I was walking and I was like, I think I should cross the street. So I crossed the street and then I was like, should I turn right or go forward? I think that I should go forward.
What?
And I'm walking down the sidewalk and like a half a block away, I can see this little piece of paper on the sidewalk. And I'm like, is that it? did I find it? Is that going to be it? And I got to it and it was totally his vaccination card.
Mike, I think we need to do like a Long Island psychic thing for you where you just like find people's shit. It's like Harlem psychic.
Yeah, it was so hilarious. So I called him. I'm like, where are you?
Was he like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. So I like, and I was kind of like running late. I was like meeting friends. So I like ran back and gave it to him. But it was kind of, I was like, I don't know. I knew I was going to find it. And there it was. There was the card.
That is insane.
That's so bizarre. Like in the streets of New York.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love there you go. Very much so.
So that's the most exciting thing that's happened to me. So yeah, so then the next day, okay, so I guess the point of this story was then I definitely woke up at like 7 o'clock in the morning the next day and felt it.
Okay.
Was like, oh, I'm a little chilly. I'm a little achy. Like my skin's just a little bit sensitive. So I didn't sleep very well. I kind of tried to stay in bed. And I was starving. I was so hungry and I hadn't thought. For some reason, I hadn't thought about breakfast, so I had, like, no food in the house. So I literally texted my other roommate and was like, hey, can I steal a yogurt? Like, I just need, like, something to eat. And then went back to bed for a few hours and then got up. And I had one day of feeling kind of achy and kind of sore. And then the next day, I was totally fine.
Great.
And now I'm indestructible.
Yay! Well, no, you have to wait, like, what is it, 14 days, depending?
Yeah, there's actually an app for New York. I know they're working on a national one, but there's a New York app called like Excelsior or something like that, where you can download it to your phone and then you go to the New York website. And basically, if you've been vaccinated for 2 weeks, it will like show that on your phone. So you can be like, look, I'm fully vaccinated. So I can't do that yet. Yes, you are right. I still have like a week left before that'll be a thing. But it's kind of
that's amazing.
Fun. That's a weird way to say it. But like, it's kind of like cool. Like it feels like
yeah,
a thing happened. Yeah,
I know. I also yeah, so I get my second one on the 14th, which means I think with Pfizer, my husband said it was 7 days, but I'm pretty sure it's 14 for all of them anyways, to get your antibodies up.
I think it is too.
But they say you can hang out with other people who are vaccinated without a mask, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't comprehend it.
Yeah.
I hear it. I can't comprehend it until it's happening. And I think I'll be nervous and even when it's happening. But I'm so mother farting excited for this normalcy. Some are new normal, as the people are calling it, to come into this world, because I am ready.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, it does feel like progress of some kind.
Yes.
How did you feel after your first? Did you have any side effects?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, are you sure you gave it to me? Because I like to worry about irrational things. And I was like, maybe they didn't give it to me because I didn't feel anything. And I was talking to some different like parents, you know, we socially distance, grab our kids after. And somebody was telling me, I can't remember who, but they were saying, well, I don't know about, I'm still nervous about getting it because there's some lore happening in the town that I live in that somebody had to go to the ER after getting it. And I'm like, okay, I was like, my husband and I got it. We're completely fine. So get the shot or I'm not hanging out with you.
Right. Get the shot.
Ever in the future. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. Just get, but I understand like, yes, there's that tiny percent. I know a lot of people who've had little reactions, but to me, that's like the thing where it's like working and you're becoming stronger. It's like, you can feel your strength happening, becoming resistant to the virus. So no side effects over in this range. So I am a little nervous for number two because I'm, you know, nothing happened the first one. So maybe it will be worse for the second. Who knows? But I'm ready.
Yeah, they say just be prepared as far as like, you know, have things around that, you know, will make your life easier. And I can't imagine because, you know, with the kids, you know, that's that extra little added level of stress there, I know.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, mommy's laying down, everybody. Uh-huh. Everybody has to, if you need something, just go to the fridge on your own. They would just drink a bunch of like, they love these, they're like protein drinks. I know it's horrible, but I let them drink. They're for kids, but they would just drink those all day and have diarrhea at night. So that would be not fun. If I let them do what they wanted, they would do that and chips and like goldfish.
Perfect. Their healthy diet.
It's disgusting.
Are your parents still there?
No, they left. And it was a really nice, you know, vacation for them. It was great to see them. And now they're back. And yeah, it was good. It was great. I'm happy they came. It was a very lovely trip. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. I mean, we didn't do much because there's still not a lot to do. We walked a lot and did some simple things. But maybe in some ways that made the trip even better because the expectations were lower. But it was nice. And the kids love to see their grandparents.
Yeah.
Because my mom and dad are nice to them all the time, and I'm not.
What do you think, you were saying that time feels crazy. What do you think is affecting that? Do you think that's just being at home?
I just feel I don't, and maybe I have to start to have drinks again because I can't, every day is blending into each. I think the opposite thing of is happening to me than most people. When they stop drinking, they just get all this clarity and everything's great. Now I feel like everything's just like melting together. I don't know. I just wake up, I do my job, I go to sleep, I wake up, I do my, you know what I mean? There's no exciting margarita at the end of the day.
Yeah, but I think it's because there's, I think it's because we don't have anything to like mark the dates right now. Like we don't have anything of like, well, on Friday I did this fun thing. Like all that we have is kind of,
right,
you know, the same routine every day.
I feel like I'm a little crawling out of my skin. So Tuesdays, we always record on Tuesdays. Is always a good day for me. I'm always like kind of shitting my pants because I'm like, oh God, what do I say? But it's always a good day because I get to see Mike. But and we get to like sort of talk and do our own little creative thing. So yeah.
So I have a question also about, so do you have a goal as far as your period of sobriety goes?
You know, I'm listening to this, that some meditation stuff, and they talk about 40 days, how 40 days is like a magical number. You know, there was Moses with the 40 days. Didn't he just didn't eat or something? I don't really know. And then there's like something with Buddhism with 40 days. And then actually 40 days is about 6 weeks, and 6 weeks after you have a baby, they're like, you're ready to bone, which is not necessarily true, but you're supposed to be healed. Like any surgery or anything,
right,
you're after 6 weeks, you're healed. So I'm thinking 40 days.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, you know, just take it. And then I'm going to really like only try and do it for fun events and things like that. Because I think the biggest thing that I'm even still today struggling with, which is I have not drank for 30 days, is that there's two reasons I do it that I don't like why I do it. Boredom and like the day is done. I'm so tired of, you know, serving my children. It's like a release thing. So I want to stop doing it for those reasons. I want to do it because I'm having a nice meal or I'm seeing a friend and we're enjoying our time. I don't want to do it because I'm bored or because I need relief.
Gotcha.
Those are the two reasons. So if I could do that, great. Hey, listen, if after 40 days I start going again and it just, I can't seem to control it, then I'll be like, maybe I need to like reconsider my relationship with this ethanol that I ingest.
Gotcha.
Through the liquids. But I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
40 days sounds good. Anything in particular you're digging these days?
Yes. Okay, Mike. So I know that you're like, not another goddamn app. Not another goddamn app. But Discovery Plus, $6.99 a month, okay? And it's mostly kind of like that reality TV stuff. You don't really watch reality TV, do you?
I don't really, no.
Yeah, like no, not even like any of those. I in the olden days, I wouldn't consider HGTV reality TV, but it is.
Sure.
It's totally, yeah, reality TV. But so for me, it's like such an escape. It's one of those things where I can totally turn my brain off. It's probably the same thing with people who like sports. You can watch and you're not totally watching. I don't enjoy personally, you know, watching sports on TV. I can watch them in real life. That's fun. But yeah, TV, no. But for me, Discovery Plus, I got lured in because Chip and Joanna Gaines had new episodes on Fixer Upper. And they totally honeypot you that way because there's only four episodes, whatever. And I was pissed. But the Discovery Plus also includes HGTV, Food Network, TLC, Investigation Discovery, OWN, which is Oprah's, The Travel Channel, Magnolia Network, which is Chip and Joanna Gaines' thing. I'm like, whatever, you have a network, great. And then Discovery, of course, which, you know, Discovery has all those like Naked and Afraid shit, those kind of shows, living off the grid or whatever, which I'm like, I can watch that here and there. It makes me feel like good because I don't like want to be out naked and afraid. So I'll watch someone be naked and afraid and get my fill. There's also like Planet Earth, Animal Planet, which we love, A&E, the History Channel, Lifetime, which I don't really care, but sometimes I need that itch scratched. And there's a bunch of others, including The Dodo, which I follow on Facebook, which is all of those things that you love, yeah, Mike, with the animal rescues and then the, you know, that's fun too. But yeah, so I bought it more for the Fixer Up thing. But what I discovered, and this is what I'm digging, it's a show called Save My House. And it's with Nate Berkus and Jeremiah Brent. Do you know who Nate Berkus is?
Do I know who Nate Berkus is?
Okay, I'm sure you do because, okay, so this is kind of embarrassing because I knew who Jeremiah Brent was first, which is unheard of because, let's go back to Nate. Nate Berkus is the guy who was basically, I think, Oprah's interior designer. And in 2005, he was the guy who was on vacation with his boyfriend in Sri Lanka when a insane tsunami hit and his poor boyfriend died. But I just reread like what happened. They were in their like little bungalow with the doors shut and the tidal wave hit or whatever, the tsunami hit and like water came in. Anyways, the description of it, you guys go to, I think it was Oprah.com that he was interviewed by Oprah, of course, because she's like, I'm gonna get in on this. So that guy, Nate Berkus, went through that craziness. He's also interior designer, but later on he meets Jeremiah Brent. They, you know, spoiler alert, they're married. They have two adorable kids. They have a couple episodes on Open Door on YouTube. Guys, they're really good. I just love their aesthetic. But the reason I know Jeremiah is because I guess I'm revealing that I like reality TV. On Netflix, there's a show called Say I Do. And it's these people who have like waited too long or whatever, who've waited to ask people to marry them. And then I think like they, Jeremiah and his team make a wedding in a week. It's so good. Jeremiah is so sweet. And I just like fell in love with him because he comes off when you first see him like kind of a fashion asshole, but then he's really not at all. You know, fashion assholes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all know them.
Yeah.
Especially in New York. Like I worked in some of the fashion world and it was just like, you think it's all pretty and fun, but no, everyone's insecure and unhappy, but not Jeremiah. He is a sweetheart. So I found the show. It's called Save My House. It's Nate and Jeremiah, and people who are in really bad places with homes that they bought, they save them. And I love a before and after so much, Mike. And I love them both. They're hilarious together and they're sweet and they always go back to their kids. And God damn it, I love a reveal. So yeah, that's what I'm liking right now. I mean, you know, I'm really digging it. Because I need that like completely delicious, vapid, if I could say so. Because interior design isn't vapid, but like I need that escape.
Right, absolutely.
So I recommend it.
I totally get that. No, I love a before and after.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah, I mean, I do, like I watch the old and the new versions of Queer Eye. I was a fan of both of those and it has that same reveal aspect to it. That's so great. That's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. How about you? What are you digging? Anything?
Yeah. I'm watching so many movies. I've watched all the documentary features I've gotten through. I'm like more than halfway through the animated features. Yeah. I'm doing really, really well. And one of the movies is kind of random. And I'm going to be, I'll say up front, it's not, the movie's not the thing that I'm digging. It's going to get me to what I'm digging. There's a movie that's nominated for song, which is kind of a weird category because, like, do you need to watch the movie to know the song?
Mm.
This year, I have actually now watched all of the song nominated movies. So I will have also done that category.
Cool.
And it's, it's a movie that I think people have seen that, like, I remember seeing the picture for it on my Netflix queue and being like, that looks super weird. Maybe I'll watch it one day. And it's that Eurovision Song Contest.
I love that movie, Mike. Okay. I'm a weirdo. It's one of my favorite comedies and I watched it with the kids. I have to like, there's a certain spoiler alert, but there's a very graphic, like disgusting scene. Remember when her, you know what, falls on the, after the explosion?
Uh-huh.
That scares the kids, but we sing that song karaoke. Husavik van Skalvanda. Yeah.
So, all right. So you know it.
Oh my God. I love it.
So here's,
I know it well.
Here's the thing. It's not really my kind of movie. Like that's not really a genre that like I love.
I love it.
It's very much the sillifications genre where like, and I once again, not, no shade. I definitely laughed out loud.
Yeah.
I definitely had moments that I thought were very, very funny. It does the thing where it becomes kind of so ridiculous that my brain can't decide if it's going to still take it seriously or not.
Right.
So I enjoy, I don't mean to like be at all negative about it. What I do want to say particularly is that in the midst of the silliness and the craziness and the absolutely ridiculousness, I, on at least two separate occasions, became emotional watching it.
Yeah.
And I give all the credit to Rachel McAdams.
Yes.
I think that Rachel McAdams is so glorious and like so full of heart. I feel like if you want to make something emotional and like make someone become invested, you just have to cast Rachel McAdams.
I agree.
And like she'll do the rest of the work. It made me think about another movie sort of in this genre-ish. I think the funny thing about her is that I think the first thing that I ever saw her in wasn't actually Mean Girls, because separate story, I did not see Mean Girls in the movie theater. I meant to, and I went to a bar and got drunk and forgot to. That's a whole separate story. But I did see, randomly, I did see Wedding Crashers in the movie theater.
Oh.
And that's sort of the same thing, where it's kind of silly and yes. sort of like, I mean, that's much more like fratty and like dude. But I definitely cried in Wedding Crashers. And it's the scene with Rachel McAdams where she's talking with her father. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, why am I emotional in the midst of this super like fratty, weird movie with like a boob sequence? And it was Rachel McAdams. I just think that she's so glorious. And it definitely yeah. made me, I've seen most of her work and she's had a very, very good career. And I just, I want more. So I'm going to make an effort to like go back and watch some of her other stuff that I haven't seen, because I just think she's glorious. I think that she's so great. Yeah. So there you go. Rachel McAdams is in fact what I'm digging this week.
Well, I adore that. I will say the reason I think that Eurovision was such a success is also, I believe, because of her too. Because there's so many ridiculous things
right.
that you're just like, and Will Ferrell at some point, you're like, Jesus, man.
Right.
But her commitment, that's like good comedy, mm-hmm. is her yeah. full commitment. Mm-hmm. And you laugh and you cry. I agree. I love her so much. She was in this, oh Mike, please help me. She was in this TV series. It's a Canadian show. It was one of my favorites, and it was about Shakespeare and
Slings and Arrows.
Yes, Slings and Arrows. She is so good. That's where I discovered her. Well, actually, no, Mean Girls was before that. But Slings and Arrows, it's so good, you guys. It's hard to find if anybody can find it, but she's amazing in that as well. And the whole cast, actually.
Yeah, I think that I feel like I watched that with you. I feel like we watched that, like you had
I'm
already
sure
seen
I made
it.
You.
Yeah. You'd already seen it, but I watched it with you. And yeah, it was a great series. And I just think that she's glorious. I just think that she's, yes. there's something so magical about her.
Yeah.
And you're right. I was talking to another friend because my friend Katie just arrived in LA a couple days ago. She now lives not really near you anymore because you don't live in proper LA. But like when I come and see you, we're all going to get together and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, great.
But she is a big fan of Eurovision. Like she loved it. And what she was talking about was just how committed they were to the characters.
Yeah.
And how they had no judgment for the characters that they were playing. That the characters are kind of ridiculous.
Yes, absolutely.
But that they just embraced what they were doing. And
yes.
Nothing negative about Will Ferrell, but he is just kind of like so ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's glorious.
He doesn't like settle in. He's not an actor first, you know, he's like a comedian first. But I think he did a decent job. But one of my favorite parts when she was like, the elves went too far.
It's so good.
I love that. She's so good, you guys. Okay, so if you haven't seen it, please see it. And I just might rewatch it again.
It's worth watching. It's worth watching. And yeah, she's lovely. So yeah, so much. All the love to Rachel McAdams.
Yeah. On that note.
Anything in particular you could do without?
Yeah, that's a great segue, I think, for what I could do without.
Okay.
Judgment of character on movies. So I rewatched a movie last night. My husband and I were looking for something that was easy to watch, something maybe we'd seen before, a classic. And we decided to watch Bull Durham. Did you ever see Bull Durham?
I've never seen Bull Durham.
No. Okay. Well, then you might feel the way I felt. Well, you'll see. Maybe you'll watch it. Maybe you won't. I might do some spoilers. So
that's fine.
So going back and watching an old movie that, you know, you love as a kid and seeing all the problems, like the things that are problematic as an adult is kind of...
Yeah.
It's harsh. And by a kid, I mean, you know, so this movie... came out in 1988. So, but I saw it in like the 90s, probably like 10 years after. And I remember loving it. I remember, so it's a movie about, okay, so the IMDb description is a fan, and basically it's a sports groupie. She has an affair with one minor league baseball player each season. And then in this story, we meet her. She meets an up-and-coming pitcher and this experienced catcher. And she's trying to choose who's going to be the guy that she's going to have the affair with. And Susan Sarandon plays Annie. This is the groupie, or the, you know, sports, I guess, groupie. And Kevin Costner plays the old experienced catcher. And Tim Robbins plays the young pitcher, up-and-coming pitcher. And I wonder, you know, Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon got married. I wonder if that's when they met, probably. It's a very, like, sexual movie. So what I loved about it as a kid was probably, like, the baseball aspect. Everything was written really, like, you could tell it was written. It was almost like a play, you know? There's monologues. People don't write like this anymore. I haven't seen anything lately. It was written by this guy and directed by a guy named Ron Shelton, who also did White Man Can't Jump. And he also wrote Bad Boys 2. I mean, so he's had a lot of experience. But as an adult or an older person watching now, I have so much judgment for Susan Sarandon's character. And I hate, because I was talking to my husband about it. And he was like, well, she kind of took it on her in her own way. She's like, I'm, you know, having an affair with this guy. This is my project. But she loved baseball. But my thought is like, if you fucking, excuse my language, love baseball, then, you know, nowadays you could be a coach maybe, or you could at least a journalist. Or I judge too much because the man wrote her to be, it's not like a real human. It just didn't feel like a real human woman to me. But there are some really famous monologues that, you know, one of her most famous ones is, it's the opening, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but anybody who's seen it, she's like, I believe, and she has a great Southern accent. She's like, I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I worship Buddha, Allah, Brahma, Vishnu. Anyways, it's a really, really well written. This is why I want you to watch it, Mike, is because I think there's some monologues in there that are just like so descriptive. And if you are somebody who loves words, then I think you might enjoy it. But I remember as a kid, there's one where the coach gets real mad and he's like, you lollygag out to the outfield. You lollygag back into the infield. And I remember thinking that was hilarious, but you know, whatever. But the main monologue that I was like, okay, this is very hetero barfy, where it's like, you know, this guy, the man who wrote it is like, was born in the 40s. And this is what he thinks of as sexy and whatever. But so in the movie, Susan Sarandon's character Annie brings home both guys, Kevin Costner and Tim Robbins' characters, and they're drunk, they've been drinking, and she's kind of interviewing each one of them to figure out which one she wants to be her project for the season. And so they're sitting there, and Tim Robbins' character is like, I just want to he's excited. And then the, you know, Kevin Costner is like, yeah, I'm not doing that. So he gets up to leave. And he's like, you know, I don't try out for anything. I've been in the minors for 12 years or whatever. And then he's like, I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart. As he's leaving, she asks, well, what do you believe in then? And he goes, well, I believe in the soul, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, soft core pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve. And I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night. And he leaves. And she goes, oh my. And I'm just like, sure. But that's one of the most famous, you know, monologues of this movie. And I remember, I'm sure guys are getting, I don't know, it's fine. Sure. And in the end, of course, spoiler alert, she, you know, for the whole season, she's with the other guy. And at some point he has like a winning streak. So he like abstains from sex because he thinks that's what's winning. And she's all pent up and like pissed off because she finds out that Kevin Costner's character tells him, don't have sex or that winning streak's gonna be over. And she's all hot and bothered. And it felt like a scene from an acting class. She storms into his room and it's all like, you know, plotted out where he goes and gets his whiskey. And I'm just like, she could masturbate and also he could give her head. I'm just annoyed by the whole thing. I'm annoyed that like she just needs to only do it missionary. It's the only way. I'm reading into it. I'm sure whatever. But in the end, of course, they come together. Kevin Costner, rightfully so, they come together. And the sax solos are just hilarious. It's like, I guess you couldn't have a movie in the 80s without like making love. And they said making love so much, Mike. You know I don't like that. They made so much love to sax music. And there was a bunch of like insert shots of her hand like gripping satin while she's, you know, climaxing. I'm just like, I'd have to really relax to watch and maybe enjoy this. But I don't know. I think it got ruined for me.
Oh no.
That's what I'm doing. I could do without, you know, those movies you loved as a kid and you watch them and you're like, oh.
That's funny. True story. That movie is the reason why my mom to this day does not like Susan Sarandon.
Oh really?
And I've tried to explain that it's a character. That like that's, you know.
Yeah.
I now have my own issues with Susan Sarandon, so we're now kind of randomly on the same side. But yeah, she's always like, I don't like that Susan Sarandon. I saw her in Bull Durham. I'm like, that's not a good reason to not like somebody.
That's interesting that I know that now about your mom. She is a very, you know, she is very sexually comfortable with herself. A lot of scenes with her like kind of opening her legs, you know, the heat of her undercarriage just going wafting towards the guy's face, which is totally fine. Listen, get sexy, get crazy. But I felt... And maybe I'm a prude. I don't know. But I think more so, it didn't feel strong enough for me.
Interesting. All right.
That's how I am. What about you? What is there something you could do without?
Yeah. And it's funny because I'm like doing it to myself. Like it's the thing that I could do without is a thing that I could literally do without. But I keep, okay. I'm watching at the same time, I'm watching the QAnon documentary on HBO and the Heaven's Gate documentary on HBO, and it's not great. Like, it's not making me feel great about humanity and about like what our minds are doing. And because they're both cults, I mean, whether you think that Trump is a cult or not, like QAnon certainly is a cult. Like, it is. So it makes me, and it's not like five people, like it's like 10 million people that believe in this crazy stuff. And I just, it makes me confused about people's minds and makes me wonder if people just like need something externally to believe in and they haven't found it anywhere else. So this is what fills that gap for them. So there you go. It's hard for me to know exactly what to pinpoint, but I guess I could just do without whatever that mentality is, whatever that mentality that you're like, this will complete me and fix me. And I guess that can be so many different things, but it's been rough. I'm going to be happy. I don't know why I keep watching them,
yeah.
But I'll be happy when they're over. So there you go. That's what I could do with that.
Are any of those up for Oscars?
No, they're both TV shows. They're both like television documentaries.
I see.
So I don't know why I don't know why I'm watching. Like, I kind of want the information, I guess, is why I'm watching it. But like, it's not a pleasure. So there you go. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know. We almost watched that last night. Instead, we watched Bull Durham. I'm not kidding. We saw the QAnon. I'm like, I don't know if I could go there.
It's really rough.
He's like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that I can recommend it.
Yeah.
But it's tough stuff. So my topic this week is also kind of random because it was just a thing that I was thinking about and I almost wanted to talk about it to maybe like work through my actual feelings about it, which is...
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
When I first moved to New York, probably not the first summer, definitely not the first summer, but shortly thereafter, I started going to Fire Island at least once a summer. Usually, it's kind of a trek to get there. Like, people do day trips, but I don't really like that because, you know, it's just not worth it to me. Like, I'd rather stay the night and be in a hotel or whatever. And then I got a little bit spoiled because I had a boss who had a timeshare.
Oh.
And so he would just, like, let me stay at this house. And it wasn't a fancy house. It was on the beach but didn't face the beach, if that makes sense. So it just became very convenient that, like, I had a place to stay. And like the last time that I went, I stayed for like almost a week because I was staying in this house for a few days. And then I ended up meeting this guy and he was staying at a different house. So I ended up staying with them for a while. And I had a really, really good time. And I almost don't know if I got spoiled because I haven't gone back since. And I was looking at like hotel deals. And, you know, it's definitely when I first went 20 years ago, you could get like a crappy hotel room for like $50. And it was like twin beds and very, very uncomfortable. But, you know, you're 22, 23, you don't really care about that stuff. And, and you know, I'm looking now and it ranges from, you know, $150 a night to like $250 a night. And I don't know, I'm sort of struggling with, because there is part of me that wants to go. Like, I kind of want to go and stay for a few nights and kind of like reconnect with that community and that, and just like to be on the beach for a few days would be fun. But I'm having a hard time deciding if I want to go, if like 43-year-old Mike wants to go, or if like 26-year-old Mike wants to go. And I kind of want to like remember what that was like. Cause I think about going and I think, well, then I'm just like in a hotel room on an ocean, which is fun, but I don't know. I have a hard time. I guess my point is, I was wondering if you had anything like that, that like you kind of want to do and you're like, oh, I should definitely do that. But then it's like, well, but is it worth it? Like, is it going to actually be what I want it to be? Does that make any sense?
You know, yeah. What I am hearing is, it's sort of wishing for old moments and worried that those are not going to be able to be recreated in a way.
Yeah, I think there's a certain desire for nostalgia, maybe, that's part of it.
Yes. Oh, I definitely have that. I mean, I have that with you whenever we go to, well, we always have fun though, but whenever we go to the beach, we're beach loving, crab eating fools.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get it. You know what? I think one thing to think about is, you know, being a little bit older, there are things that like I necessarily wouldn't put up with. You know, like I definitely want to have a nicer bed to sleep in. I don't need the crazy party central. I would like to be able to get to it, but I don't want to have it in the house kind of thing. Maybe it's just a reimagining of how you want to do it by getting some friends together and like, trying to do an Airbnb for even just like 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have that. I feel like I'm chained a little bit to the spawn that I have for now. So I don't ever feel free enough to like do anything, but I miss the freedom to do it. So I think since you have that, you should find a way that reimagine it, find a way that you can experience it, but on the terms that you would enjoy it more now.
Yeah.
If it's possible, you know?
Yeah. Stay tuned. Maybe I'll figure something out.
I mean, I love Fire Island, but you know, after the hurricanes the last couple of years, it's definitely changed.
Yeah.
You know, but keep us updated. And like, you know, if you want a straight best friend to come with you at some point, let me know and I will chip in for that Airbnb.
I mean, that's literally all that I want is for you to go with me.
I mean, I will. I'm going to look after this.
Okay.
This is how we start planning, guys. This is how we start planning things.
We just say it on the podcast and then see if it happens.
And it shall be done.
All right. Anything random?
I love that. Very random, very quick. Okay, so I have an Apple Watch, as y'all know. And there are only like, Mike is connected to my watch, you know, when he can see when I do my workouts, my brother and sister and my mom are, and those are the only people. But I'm always like stressed out because I don't want to like overload them with like, you know, notifications. Because what I'll do is I'll do like a bike ride and then I'll switch to and do walking or yoga. And so I always get so annoyed. I didn't know because I would just stop it. So they'd get the notification. I'd start another one. They get a notification for the next one. So they get like 6 notifications throughout the day. But if you're working out throughout like the same time frame, you could just, there's a plus sign. Did you know this?
No.
There's a little plus sign you can press. Yes. Yes. I love it. You can press the plus sign and then go to yoga. Actually, what I did was I went on a long walk and then I was swimming and I realized I should switch it to swimming because I wanted my watch to not, you know, you could put it in water mode or whatever.
Right.
But it did it. I did it. You just, there's a little, it's upper right plus sign. Press it. And then when all of your workouts are done, you would do put done and it compiles all that data and sends it to all your friends.
That
only once.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a great random fact.
Yeah.
Well, so now my random fact is really stupid. My random fact is going to help nobody. And it's mostly just a way of telling a really quick story about something else that annoyed me this week.
Great. Let's do it.
And that is I went to watch. There is a nominated movie that's on Hulu right now called Another Round. And it's nominated for, I think they call it international film. Someone has to figure that category out because they can't quite figure out what to call it or what it necessarily means. It's basically foreign language. And I went to watch it. And so there you go. It's a foreign language film. And I'm watching it. And, you know, it starts out and it's sort of like a scene, like a group scene. And no subtitles are coming up. And I'm like, well, that's weird that it's not subtitled yet. But like, maybe it's because it's a group scene and it doesn't really matter what I'm just like watching this and it's fine. And it's kind of a, you know, a lengthy like 2 or 3 minutes where I'm kind of like, am I supposed to like turn the closed caption? And I'm like looking at the app and I'm like, I don't see anything for closed captioning. Like, I don't really get it.
Okay.
And then it goes to like the opening credits and, you know, the English language title comes up. So I'm like, okay, well, they know that I'm watching it in English because it's originally titled whatever like the Danish word for like binge drinking is. Okay. Because it's a movie about these guys that decide to just be drunk all day and see like if it improves their life. Spoiler, it doesn't. It took them a long time to get to that.
Right.
But and then it comes back and now there's more talk. And I'm like 6 minutes into this movie and I literally had to Google, does another round have subtitles? I'm thinking, am I missing something? So you actually have to go into the app, like into the settings, into the control and turn the subtitles on.
Oh.
I know this is a really dumb random fact. I'm just saying, like, did Hulu think that I suddenly could understand? I don't know. It was just a weird situation.
Yeah. So they're like, you know Danish. You're a tall white man.
It's very bizarre. So there, my random fact is if you want to watch this movie on Hulu, you have to first go into like your settings and turn closed captioning in English on. So there you go. Save yourself the 6 minutes that I lost by having to rewatch the first 6 minutes of that movie again.
You'll never get it back.
Yeah. So there you go. That's it. Very, very random.
Good. Good to know. Good to know. Thank you.
So Vanya, let's go to Fire Island. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Guys, we're going to do a Fire Island episode and we're going to live tweet. I'm kidding. I don't know what we're going to do, but everyone's invited. Let's do it.
Let's all go. All right. I love you. It's always, I love talking
to you.
I love you,
Mike Jensen.
All right.
Yay,
talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Bye, guys. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Oh my God. I'm recording now. I said, don't rush me.
I made a mistake before.
Oh.
We're singing some hits from the past. We already did Lionel Richie's Hello.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for? Really random. I used to have the flute sheet music to that, and I would play it on the flute. So still, when I hear that song, I hear it like. Because that was the flute part.
Yes. Can you please do that for us? I think everyone, I will speak for everyone listening that would be amazing.